Thank you so much, Bill. And I am not going to worry about Bill taking a few minutes of my time. Over the years, he's given me extra time on many Sundays, so I sure can't complain about that. But it's wonderful to have you with us this morning. Many of you joined us during the week for one or more of our love and respect videos that we were able to look at this week. And as we've been thinking about marriage, I hope that you have found it to be profitable in your marriage. And what I'd like for us to do this morning is to follow this week up by considering how we can profit from looking at the marriage of an Old Testament prophet, Prophet Ezekiel. It's a somewhat unfamiliar story to many people, I think. Definitely not one that's mentioned a whole lot. A little bit of background. Ezekiel was taken to Babylon somewhere in the area of 597-598 B.C. He was an inhabitant of Israel, of Jerusalem. And there were three waves of exiles going from the southern kingdom of Judah. There, Judah and Israel had somewhat of a civil war, a split. 10 of the tribes were joined together in the northern part called Israel. The other two were in the southern part, and they were referred to as Judah. The northern tribes were taken into exile by Assyria, and then a number of years later, Judah also was taken into exile, this time by Babylon, who had taken over as the world power, succeeding, as it were, Assyria. So there were three waves of these exiles that occurred. The first was roughly in 605 B.C., and then in 598, there was a second assault on Jerusalem after they rebelled against the Babylonian authority. And it was during that time that Ezekiel was taken away from his homeland and taken to Babylon, where he was kept as a captive, as were many others. Later, and we will mention this as we look in our passage this morning, there was a third exile, a third wave of captives were taken, and that was in 586 when the temple and the city of Jerusalem were destroyed by the Babylonians. It appears from what we can tell that Ezekiel was exiled at about the age of 25. And he began his ministry as a prophet of God about the age of 30. The timing of this chapter, we're going to be looking at chapter 24, the second part of that chapter in the book of Ezekiel. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn there or grab a Bible from among the song books and find your way to Ezekiel, pretty much in the middle of our Bible. And if you turn to the 24th chapter, and we find that the timing of this chapter is just about the time that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. And what I described is that third wave of captives being taken by the Babylonian army. Very likely Ezekiel was about 37 years old at this time. It's interesting, if you ever look at paintings depicting Ezekiel, you will see him normally depicted as an old man. But from the best calculations that I can find, it seems that he was probably in his late 30s, possibly in his early 40s at the oldest. And so likely his wife was in the same age range. Ezekiel, if you took time to read the earlier part of this book, you would see that he had been given some amazing and awe-inspiring visions. You'd also see that he had been commanded by God to do some very unusual and eyebrow-raising things. like laying on his left side for 390 days and then on his right side for 40 days. Cooking a special type of bread in a certain manner. And all of these things, along with other things that he was instructed to do, they were used as illustrations for the people of Judah. As Ezekiel not only spoke and wrote his prophecies, but he also dramatized his prophecies, all at the instruction of God. And it's really somewhat of an interesting little side story that we find out about Ezekiel's wife. And it's from this marriage relationship between Ezekiel and his wife, his unnamed wife, that we hope to glean some practical and profitable applications for our own marriages. For sure this Sunday, and maybe next Sunday as well, we'll see how far we get. But we'd like to start out by reading the text. And in Ezekiel chapter 24, I'll just ask you to notice, first of all, the first verse. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me. And as you read through Ezekiel, you'll see that he often identifies the specific day on which he is writing. So we find that on this tenth day of the tenth month in the ninth year, God instructs him concerning what he's supposed to do. And we're going to come down to verse 15, and we're going to find out something else that God, on the same day, told him. So Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence, make no mourning for the dead, bind your turban on your head, and put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips, and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, Will you not tell us what these things signify to us that you behave so? Then I answered them, The word of the Lord came to me saying, Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul. And your sons and daughters, whom you left behind, shall fall by the sword, and you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat man's bread of sorrow. Your turban shall be on your heads, and your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another. Thus Ezekiel is a sign to you. According to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord God. And you, son of man, will it not be in the day when I take from them their stronghold, their joy, and their glory, the desire of their eyes and that on which they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that on that day one who escapes will come to you to let you hear it with your ears? On that day your mouth will be open to him who has escaped. You shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus you will be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I don't know if you've ever read that before, and maybe you've read it and not really paused to think, particularly about verse 16 and verse 18. We're going to be focusing primarily on verse 16. And we're going to consider together three profitable applications to our marriages. And as we mention each of these, I want you to imagine Ezekiel saying it. Imagine Ezekiel saying it. Again, a little background. As he speaks here, the picture that he is painting for the people is that what they delight in, the desire of their eyes, the hope of their hearts, is the city of Jerusalem and the temple that's there in that city. And even though they've been taken into exile, they know that there are still some of their people there, and they know the temple is there, and as long as the city is there, they have hope. But the message comes to them loud and clear that is going to be destroyed. And this is the last, it seems, that Ezekiel will say about that, because he is made mute. He is not allowed to say anything else about this. Now, he does give other prophecies about other nations. But we want to bring it in and look at it really in a practical sense, as I said, from verse 16. And let's just read that verse again together. Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. The first practical lesson that we'd like to learn, we can, as it were, try to imagine Ezekiel saying this. He didn't say it, but we can imagine it like this. Him speaking to his wife, I only have eyes for you. You see, it was God who described Ezekiel's relationship with his wife in that way. Here's a little card, a cute little way to remember it. I only have eyes for you. The desire of your eyes, you see it there in verse 16 as God speaks to him. And he says, I'm going to take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. And then we see in verse 18 in the narrative of what happened, his wife died. So we see that God was referring to Ezekiel's wife as the desire of Ezekiel's eyes. He addresses Ezekiel as the son of man. It's one of 92 times that the Lord addresses Ezekiel in that way. We've been studying through the book of Luke, and we're taking a little, some side journeys here. But back in the book of Luke, you know, the Lord Jesus refers to himself frequently as the Son of Man, speaking of his humanity. And this is the title by which God spoke to Ezekiel. And he says, Son of Man, I take away from you the desire of your eyes. The desire of your eyes. The eyes, as we have it here in the Hebrew, primarily would speak of the physical ability to see, your physical eyes. He was talking about that. But it's also used to speak of the mental viewing, thinking about something or someone. Sometimes the eyes of the mind are spoken of in the Hebrew. And then other times we actually have a thought of spiritual vision. We might call it the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the spirit, looking at things in a spiritual sense. You know, as you view your wife, and I realize there are some here this morning who are not married. Some of you have been married. Some of you, your spouse has died. And if so, then we're going to be touching on that as we work our way through this. Some of you may be married one day, though you are not married right now. But many of you are married. And I ask you this morning, as you view your spouse, through what lens are you looking at your spouse? Life is busy. Life is often chaotic. And the perspective that we have on our spouse is just like our perspective on many other things. At times, it gets somewhat jumbled and it gets out of kilter. There are many people in the world today who are looking at their spouses through the lens of the world. And maybe you could be doing that. I think about the lens of the world and how our culture and society looks at marriage. You know, and I think about that little phrase, you may hear it sometimes, a trophy wife. Or even a trophy husband. We'll say a trophy spouse. In other words, just something to sit on the shelf, something to impress others. No relationship with that trophy, just rather that is somebody who can make me look good. Could you be looking at your spouse as a trophy spouse, through the lens of the world, trying to promote yourself in the estimation of others, not really concerned about your relationship with your spouse. Some may be looking at their spouse through the lens of the flesh. A husband looking at his wife as a sex object to fulfill his physical desires, but nothing really beyond that. The wife may be looking at her husband, as Dr. Egerich had mentioned, as a meal ticket. Just someone to fulfill her physical desires, to have what she wants beyond even what she needs. Could you be looking at your spouse through the lens of the flesh, or maybe even through the lens of the devil? You know, the devil desires to be worshipped. And if he can't be worshipped, then next in line of his desires is that the true God would not be worshipped. Maybe your spouse has become an idol. Maybe you view your spouse, and maybe doing it, I would assume doing it surely subconsciously, but actually placing that husband or that wife above God in your own estimation. But you see, there's another lens through which we can look, and that's the lens of the Word of God. The lens of the Word of God. Viewing your spouse as God views your spouse. Viewing your spouse as one who has been created by Him in His image. Never forgetting the reality of the uniqueness of your husband, your wife. That God knit together that one in His or her mother's womb, and your mother-in-law's womb, that one was knit together as a little baby by God. Designed the way that God wanted him to be. Designed the way that God wanted her to be. And God sees your spouse in that way. He wants us to look at our spouses through the lenses of His Word. To see our spouse as His gift to us. There are some here this morning who are unmarried and want to be married. And they would love to have the gift of a spouse given to them. And it may be that in God's timing, He will present them with that gift. Unfortunately, there are probably also those here this morning who have a spouse and say, "That's not the kind of gift I want. I'd like to give it back." That's not the way God gives gifts. Particularly this gift. It's for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Till death do we part. But can you stop and look through the lens of the Word of God and see that God is working in your life, and even in poor choices that you have made? That person that you may look back now and say, "That was the wrong person for me to marry." Well, once you said "I do," they became the right person. God's gift to you. View your spouse through the Word of God and see your spouse as His tool to use in your life. God desires to take your spouse and to use your spouse in your life spiritually. You may be here this morning and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you are married, God would desire to use your spouse, whether he or she is married or unmarried, as a tool to help you understand that you need someone beyond yourself. If you're going through difficulties in your marriage right now, maybe it's because God is taking your spouse as a tool to show you that you need someone greater than you are. He wants to turn your eyes, to turn my eyes, to turn our eyes toward Him. And as we look at our spouses through the lens of the Word, as we look at anything through the lens of the Word of God, we are going to be brought to see God. And if you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're missing His greatest gift, the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus, the one who loved you and loves you and gave himself for you and died a painful death, a shameful death, a bloody death, a substitutionary death, but a death from which he arose victorious to offer you forgiveness for all of your sins, past, present, and future, to make you a new creation. If you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God wants to use your spouse as His tool in your life to bring you even closer to Him in fellowship, to challenge you. As our brother prayed this morning concerning sins in our own lives, God can use our spouses, as irritating and aggravating as they may be, it seems at times, and yet a tool from God to bless us, to point us to Him. See your spouse through the lens of the Word of God. See His provision for you. Eve was brought to Adam to complete him. Eve had Adam as her head. They were provided for each other. They were just what each other needed. And you might say, well, hey, you know, Adam was perfect when he was created. And Eve was perfect, you know, and they had a perfect spouse. But that wouldn't fit you because you're not perfect. Right? A perfect spouse wouldn't fit me, though I've got an almost perfect one. But a perfect spouse wouldn't fit me because I'm imperfect. God has provided for you, and God is able to use your spouse in your life to provide for you what you need and what you don't even know you need and what you don't know that you're going to need. How many in this room, including me, can look back with amazement at how God provided a wife who would be what I needed not only at the time when I was younger and she was the wife of my youth, but now that I'm older? God knows. And you might think it's a bad match, but God provides for you through your spouse. See them through the lens of the Word of God. And I want you, this next one, I put it in quotation marks here. I want you to understand this properly. But view your spouse through the lens of the Word of God as God's project for you. That sounds kind of unromantic. All right? And I don't want to say it in the wrong way. That's why I put it in quotation marks. But you see, just like God is using your spouse as a tool in your life, He's using you as a tool in your spouse's life. And nobody wants to be looked at as a project in that sense. But yet, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. And when we do it God's way, when we take His Word and we apply the principles of marriage that He has given us in the Scripture, then God will use us in the life of our spouse as we yield to Him. Viewing your spouse as God views your spouse. And viewing your spouse as God desires for you to view your spouse. Let me mention several things here. First of all, with appreciation. Going back to what we've already said about God's provision for you, God's gift to you. God wants you to view your spouse with appreciation. Appreciation to Him, but also appreciation to them. Being grateful for what your spouse brings into your life. If your spouse has only brought misery into your life from the moment you said, I do, I don't believe you would have married them. There surely had to be something good at some point for which you can be appreciative. And that thing may still be there and you're overlooking it, you're missing it because of an ungrateful heart. Viewing your spouse with appreciation. Viewing your spouse with acceptance. Recognizing that God has brought that spouse to you. And that spouse is the right person. And being willing to accept your spouse as he or she is, not as what you want him or her to be. Are you willing to accept your spouse as they are? That's what God wants you to do. He will use you as a tool according to His principles. As you yield yourself to Him, He will use you. But the point is, I don't look at my spouse. I'm not to look at my spouse as a project in the sense that, well, when they get to where they should be, then I'll accept him. Then I'll accept her. No, accept them right now as they are. If they never change and they only get worse, accepting your spouse. Viewing your spouse as God designed and desires for you to view your spouse with admiration. If I ask you to sit down right now and make a list of 10 attributes in your spouse that you can admire. Even if right now you're aggravated with your spouse, you're frustrated, you're maybe even angry with your spouse right now, even separated from your spouse right now, I want you to think about 10 attributes that are positive. Okay, I'll drop it to 5. Okay? I'll drop it to 5. And if you have to go with 1, just do that 1, okay? But I think for most of you, you could think of way more than that. We might stop and ask ourselves, when was the last time I expressed my admiration for my spouse? By telling my spouse that I admire them for one of those things. Make a long list. That could be a daily project. Viewing our spouses with attraction. Attraction. Remember that initial attraction? I know he doesn't look like that anymore. I understand that. And I know she's changed a little bit. But can you see within your spouse what initially attracted you to him or her? Not just physically. Not just physically, but looking through those mental eyes and the spiritual eyes and looking at your spouse and looking deep within him or her at their character, at their spirit. Can you do that? And viewing your spouse with agape, with God's love. 1 Corinthians 13. Go back and read verses 4 to 7 in 1 Corinthians 13 and think about the way that you're to view your spouse through the eyes of love, the agape love of God that is not rude, that is patient, that is kind, that endures, that believes all things, that hopes all things, that endures all things, looking at our spouse in that way. As the desired. Do you notice that there in verse 15? He said, I'm going to take away from you the desire of your eyes. That word desire means desirable, pleasant, loved. That was how God described Ezekiel's relationship with his wife. Let me mention just a number of various translations and paraphrases of this little phrase, desire of your eyes. The delight of your life. The pleasure of your eyes. Your most precious treasure. The person you love most. The woman or the man you look at with love. Or respect. You know, you might say, well, hey, you know, he's talking about the wife here. You know, this is the husband and the wife, not the woman toward the man. That's a different situation. Well, there is a passage, Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16. You see the word I have underlined there. It's the same Hebrew word as the word here, desire. And this is the woman speaking to the man, or about the man rather. Yes, he is altogether lovely, altogether desirable, altogether delightful, altogether pleasant. And you might say, well, hey, I can't go the all together. I can't go that far with my husband. But you know what? This is for the wife toward the husband too. We all can desire to have this be our evaluated perspective. From our own perspectives and also from God's perspective. I only have eyes for you. Can't you hear Ezekiel saying that to his wife? I only have eyes to you. Way back before the song was written in 1934, he could say that. I only have eyes for you. Many of you here this morning remember Steve and Cora Jean Ulasevich. They were one of those special couples. They came to fellowship here when they were older. Their children were long grown and gone, and they were in their elderly years. And if you knew them, what a sweet relationship they have. There's one thing that stands out in my mind, and many of you know that every October, the first Sunday, we're involved in the life chain as we just stand holding a sign speaking for life. And I'll never forget the Sunday afternoon in October. I don't remember the year, but I remember that day, and Steve and Cora Jean were out there holding their signs. And I remember Steve looking at his wife, all of her wrinkles, her silver hair, her weakness. And I remember him saying, look at the way the sun reflects off of your hair. Got me. And he was so sincere. He loved her. He was attracted. She was the desire of his eyes. What a blessing. What a blessing. Can that be you? Should that be you? Would God describe your spouse as the desire of your eyes? I'm not talking right now about whether you're the desire of his or her eyes. That's not the point. The point right now is, would God describe, if he spoke to you as he spoke to Ezekiel, would he describe your spouse as the desire of your eyes? Could he say, oh son of man, oh daughter of man, I'm going to take the desire of your eyes. Could he say that? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it is his intent that he be able to use such wording in your marriage? Do you think that he desires that? If it is God's intent, but it is not how he would describe your view of your spouse, what can you do to change your view? And we'll close with this morning. I'm going to suggest that it's going to take some determination. We have couples here that have been married just a short time. We have couples here that have been married many, many, many years. Nobody came up for their anniversary. I don't have any illustrations to use this morning from up front. But you know what? As the years go on and a lot of water goes under the bridge and a lot of baggage gets packed, it can be difficult to change. But I would suggest God wants us to change, and it takes determination, first of all, to determine what lens you have been using. Be honest between you and the Lord. He knows. He'll reveal it to your heart if you want to know. How are you looking at your spouse? And some of the ways that we mentioned earlier, you know, you can look at your spouse through the eyes of the world and the flesh and the devil and be very critical. Because they're not the trophy spouse that you're looking for. Or they're not fulfilling your pleasures as you desire them to. Or they're not living up to that idol that you want them to be. Through what lens are you looking at your spouse? Secondly, determine to make a change. To change to the lens of the Word of God. And of course that means I'm going to be in the Word of God in order to do that. And maybe I'm going to need to be more in the Word of God than I'm already being in the Word of God if I'm going to see things, including my spouse, through the Scripture. And sometimes the things that are closest to us, we have the most difficulty looking through the lens of God's Word at. Thirdly, determine how should you view your spouse. Taking the Word of God, looking in the Word of God, stepping back, taking a deep breath and say, how is it that God desires that I view my spouse? We've listed some suggestions this morning. Next, determine to pray for this view. Again, all that baggage, all that water, it makes it difficult. But God is waiting for you to pray. God is waiting for you to say, Lord, I want to admire my spouse. I want to be attracted to my spouse. I want to accept my spouse. But Lord, these things are difficult. If that's your prayer, He's ready to hear it. He wants you to pray. God answers prayer. You heard that before? Sure. Did you ever stop to think, maybe I need to pray about how I view my spouse? And then determine to start looking for this view. Start looking for it. Start looking at your spouse in a different way. Look for some of these things that we mentioned. And if you don't see them to the extent you want to, look and try to find just a seed. See if you can find a seed there. And then determine to act in accordance with this view. To treat your spouse in accordance with how God would have you to see him or her. Respond to your spouse in that way. Be proactive toward your spouse in this way. Changing your view. So here's kind of a simple principle that we'll leave up here as we pray. For your spouse to be the desire of your eyes, view him or her through the lens of God's Word. Ezekiel, I know that your wife is the desire of your eyes. And next Sunday we're going to look at the other two principles, and they're going to maybe break your heart. But I hope that as we look at Ezekiel and his relationship to his wife and what happened, as we can bring that to our own lives, I hope that it can challenge us. So we think about two more principles this morning, or two more lessons. This morning, I only have eyes for you. For your spouse to be the desire of your eyes, view him or her through the lens of God's Word. We'd love to talk more about it. We'd love to pray with you about it. If we could be a help in any of these ways. I know there are many others here who would be glad to do that. So I hope you can make it back next Sunday morning as we finish this up before we get back to our study in Luke. So let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning for every good and every perfect gift that comes down from you, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal life through him, the one who gave himself for our sins, dying, shedding his blood that we might be forgiven. Thank you, Father, for his resurrection. Thank you for the reality of life in the Lord Jesus, that he changes everything, that we're new creations in Christ, and that includes our relationship with our spouses. Father, we pray this morning for each one of us in this room that you will make this relevant to us where we are right now. Father, I realize there are some here that may never again be married. They are apart from their spouses, and that may be the end of married life for them. But Father, you can use them in the lives of others. You can use them to mentor and to minister to others regarding these truths. And Father, those of us who are married, we thank you for your gift. We thank you, Father, for your Word. And we pray that our spouse would be the desire of our eyes in a fresh way, in a new way. Lord, do miracles. We confess there are situations likely represented in this room where that's going to take a miraculous work of yours. And you can do that. And you're willing to do that. Father, give grace that we might love our spouses with agape love that perseveres, that bears. Father, that is kind, and we just commit ourselves to you, and we pray that our marriages would reflect in a wonderful way to this world the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with us. Father, might people see something different in our marriages, that they might ask, why do you treat your wife like that so kindly? Why do you respond to your husband with such respect? Why do you do that? Lord, might we be able to point them to the Lord Jesus. Help them to see through your word their own lives and their own marriages. So, Father, thank you for your goodness, your grace. We love you, and we thank you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you in the desire of your eyes. Thank you.